definition is a very deep, fine feeling of the heart, of the mind, and of our way of doing things, our behavior, our standards. Keep them, fellows. We have them.
I'll tell you all about it.
The longer you live, and the more you think of your years of Swago, the more the word tradition of Swago is going to mean to you. And it's going to be something that you think about, something that's worthwhile, something that's fine, fine.
Like submarines, got periscopes, like Ollie does. The rope-a-dope, I think your bad breath lady needs a bottle of scope, yo. We got to kick it.
It's like Norman Mailer needs an envelope. Like fat ass mama needs some cantaloupe. Like Walter White needs an isotope.
We need to kick it. Like the NSA, yeah. Likes to interlope. Like Billy Crystal, like the guys on soap. Like the mayor of San Diego, who likes to grope, yo. We like to kick it. On the
like Nancy Reagan, likes a horoscope. Like Galileo, yeah. Like a telescope. Like Mrs. Willenda, likes my thick, tight rope.
We like to kick it. On the like your pregnant little sister who's got to elope. Yeah. Like your boy Buster Keaton needs a skinoscope. Like Dr. Marcus Welby needs a stethoscope. We need to kick it.
It's like the Cardinals, like to meet the Pope, yeah. And like the Democrats, like to vote for hope.
Uh-huh.
Like cancers rock the Torah trope.
Whoa. We like to kick it on the ski slope.
All right, we're about to do our first live broadcast. This is working.
Interesting shit, Sugar Moet.
This is. All right, so this is a preamble. We're about to go live. We started the Audacity up because we've got to do that, which is what we use to record the podcast.
That's for our not live stream.
That's for podcasts. Our subscribers. You want to download and listen at your leisure.
That's so 2013.
Hey, listen, man. You know, it's almost 2020. All right, we're shutting off the Audacity. Not shutting it off, but getting out of it. Going to broadcast now.
And I believe we are live.
And we're going to hit go live. We're going to be live. And then we're going to go quick to Facebook.
See what it looks like there.
And there we are. We're live. All right, so I'm going to go to Facebook and tell them that we're live. And that's that. And now we're coming back. And now we can officially begin the podcast.
This is amazing.
There we go.
Mr. Bender.
I mean, you know what's funny? Like, literally, like, 5 years ago, like, this would have... You needed, like, a recording studio. You needed, like T1 lines. You know, you needed a network to back you up.
Now you just need two willing participants.
a little tequila and a laptop. And some Wi-Fi.
Done,
and you're good to
well
go.
Well done. I have to give you props. I mean, you are the one who's put all of the technical side of this ski slope together.
Well, listen, man, none of this stuff happens if we weren't, if this was me doing it by myself, think I'd have the gumption to say, hey, everybody, why don't you tune on in and listen to my show?
Do you find gumption strength in numbers?
I do. Well, with you, I do for sure.
I appreciate that.
You're my partner in crime.
Nice. You got to actually, I haven't really focused, but you got to sort of stay centered here. And if you've noticed, we're a little delayed.
Oh, I know. You know what? I think because that's the broadcast.
It's the buffer just in case we curse.
Yeah. Let's see here. Deal with us here as we figure out, you know, our technical stuff. There we go. So we can sort of see ourselves in real time there.
It's a little bit better. What I would love to see is we should go to Facebook. Can somebody go log is someone there?
Let's go. Let's see.
Like, folks, something on.
This is outrageous.
I can't believe we have no listeners right now. This is utterly ridiculous. I'm going into my Facebook account. Saying people.
I stop rubbing my nose. Don't get the wrong idea,
people. I'm going to comment.
So this is episode 26 of the Ski Slope. We're back in our studios after our Slam Allen Jam episode.
That was a great one.
That worked out nicely, right? It was a confidence builder because it showed you can take the ski slope on the road a little bit, edit it down, make a decent podcast out of it.
I just posted on Facebook. Where's the rest of? Oh, that was me. Someone posted.
Oh, let's see.
Like, yeah, that's me.
Oh, look, Alan Perlstein. Maybe he'll join the chat room.
Oh, gee, let's see if he can join this thing.
Okay. Well, the chat room is open. We're taking your calls.
Let's just go. Let's just do our thing,
exactly.
Given that no one's watching. But they'll watch and they'll rewatch. Like, it's not.
Oh, they'll listen to the regular podcast.
I have some news, as you know.
Bring it on.
The world doesn't know. I didn't go out of my way to post it on Facebook. Yours truly, Duke Allen Michael, has found a woman.
He is affianced. Affianced.
Cindy said yes, moi.
I am.
She's going to be my lady. She's going to be my wife.
Congratulations. Thank you, man. Mazel tov. I've already congratulated.
Yes,
but
yeah,
now,
yeah. On just for the rest of the Swago people who want to know.
And I got my save the date. Beautiful. You know, my date is saved.
Beautiful.
And beautiful. Yeah. It's going to be a nice. I've never been to the place where the wedding is. So
the wedding is in Hawaii.
Here's you know.
We couldn't be more excited. I was actually I was a little hesitant. I mean, the idea of getting married in Hawaii is about as exotic and beautiful as you could imagine. But I wanted my people to be there.
Right.
And I just felt like that's far away, and it is obviously.
Right.
But I was thinking of let's do a small ceremony there and then have something back in New York. But I have to tell you, most of the people are excited to come to Hawaii and make like a trip out of it, people who haven't been there. So we'll see what happens.
Have people officially gotten back to you?
Quite a few, because
I haven't. Now I feel bad.
No, you weren't supposed to. Okay. There wasn't any. And some people may have to figure their world
out.
It's
like I'm saving the date. I'm not RSVPing quite.
It wasn't a true RSVP. But anyway, excited for.
That's going to be great.
And she's
from Hawaii, right?
She's from Hawaii.
Okay,
yes.
So that makes sense. It's not like, oh, I'm choosing Hawaii because it's like an exotic locale. If you're actually from there, it's like, you know.
Family lives in Hawaii and sister, mother. So very, very, very excited about that.
Oh, David Allen. David Allen's chiming in on the chat.
The volume on my office speakers is awful, but you're looking good, says DL. Ooh, wow. This is my Hawaiian coming in.
Thank you, David. But I'm concerned about the volume. If somebody else could please just chime in and let us know.
Okay, the volume on my office. Dave, is it like too loud? Are we like muffled? Give us some.
Yeah, now we need to put headphones on into the headphone jack in the computer and let us know how we're sounding. Because now I'm a little concerned. I think we sounded okay. We tested it once before.
He says we're looking good, though. That's more. No good office. Oh, it's the speakers. Okay. It's not the speakers.
Can't help you on that, man.
It's the speakers, not the speakers.
Well, that's great. David, thank you for chiming in, though. This is you've created the actual interactivity that we've been seeking, and it's good to know that somebody's
cool
out there doing
this?
That.
This used to only be on like the WSGO radio station people would tune in.
I'm telling you.
But now this is real. This is real shit.
Now we're bringing the camp back to life. This is it. It's not just the two of us anymore and our guests. Now everybody gets to participate on the slope like it was back in the day.
And very appropriate that David Allen was one of our first to chime in, because tonight's guest is one of Dave's close people, Russell Gewurz.
Gewurz.
Gewurz, as our boy Lenny Bender likes to call him. Russ Gewurz.
Yeah.
So we're excited to chat with him. He's a little bit of time away. Are we just going to go live the whole time?
I think so. Is that the plan? I think that makes it easier. I haven't learned how to pause this thing yet, so I think we keep rolling.
So anyone else out there, not that David Allen isn't a great first start, it is. Who else is out there?
It's the best start there is. If I had to nominate one person to actually be the guy that would chime in.
Couldn't agree more. DL.
All right. Props to David. See, you chime in, you get a shout-out,
Steve. You get a lot of props.
We'll kiss your ass a little bit.
I'd like to thank David Allen for being our first member. Mm-hmm. Of the ski slope for $4.95 a month. You receive Swago paraphernalia.
You know, you get the monthly newsletter.
As well as props. And if you buy things on Amazon, we get 2% back. So click on the link on our podcast.
We
got to start.
You know what? We always said, like, if we needed, like, new equipment and stuff, maybe we'd do something like that. But, like, so far, so good. You know, it's ridiculous how you can do this.
It's ridiculous.
You know, just...
It's our privilege to make about a $4 a podcast investment.
I think for Podbean, I think I pay like $60 a year.
Oh, so there's $5 a month.
$5 a month for that.
Another few dollars.
Right, and that's it. And then Audacity is free. And this is actually free right now. We can upgrade, and I don't even know what that entails at this point.
Right.
To some sort of paid service on live stream, but this seems to be working so far.
I would like to actually be able to go in a room now. Mm-hmm. And go on Facebook and watch us do this simultaneous to doing it.
Well, you know, you got to wait a little while for that. I don't know if the technology exists to have that happen.
Three dimension, like that extra dimension where you can watch time.
Right.
Time no longer exists.
Right. You know what? You know what this would be good for? Like, what was it? Two podcasts ago, we had the debate about what was sent out for the laundry and what stayed in. That's the type of issue where I would have liked somebody to be definitively like, no, it was the sheets that went and the dark stayed in, you know, whatever it was, and just let us know what the deal is.
Get good feedback through this thing.
Yeah. Hey, this is a question, camp question. Swatona. Did Swatona, because I posted, somebody was talking about the camp was so beautiful and, you know, they should just take Swatona down and make it all Swago. Swatona people were like, no, Swatona's beautiful. And I remember Swatona having like different – set levels at the waterfront.
It was, like the waterfront, it ridged down.
It ridged down, like, yeah. very dramatically,
there's
right?
There's like three or four of them, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Like,
it's pretty steep.
Architecture, though, like landscape architecture that was going on in Sultona. Like, they had a man-made that. There wasn't any way that was natural.
It was clearly man-made.
It looked so nice.
From, down so
right?
That
and you, didn't it look so nice from where we were? It was like, oh, it's so just symmetrical.
It was kind of like one of those outdoor music studios, like music halls.
Yes, yes, like Red Rocks.
Colorado, Red Rock Studio, like Red Rocks.
It was. Neil Young should have arena. Played there at the Smithsonian waterfront, and it would have had good acoustics.
Could, people could fit in nicely around the, in the engulfed seating, the heart-shaped seating.
Yes, yes, the heart-shaped lake. It really is a heart-shaped lake. It's beautiful. So we've got Andrew Kay coming up soon as a guest as well. I don't know if he's going to be up for the video stuff, but why not, you know?
Why wouldn't he?
He's a good-looking
man. Well, there's
not
enough room for us to fit the three of us back here, though, so I'm not quite sure we're going to
have figure that shit out. We'll figure that shit out.
Everything gets figured out.
That's right. That's right. And so hopefully, like, maybe next week sometime, because I'm out the rest of the week, but if we can, I think he's available next week, so I'm going to throw an email out to him or a message.
It would be great to get some momentum.
I know, right? Get a couple of, like, really good Swago guests and build the thing up, especially now that we're video, you know, now that we're, you know, got the network deal in the works.
Exactly. My son, Burke, this organization puts together a spring break trip with, like, all the sort of New York private schools and stuff. Mm-hmm. So he's down in Paradise Island right now at this like free for all kind of vacation.
Thanks, private schools. Yeah,
yeah. And you know, I was nervous at first, but I bet he's having a damn good time.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. I'm sure he is. Especially this time. Like, is his college thing all figured out, or
the schools he really wants to go to. He's waiting. He still is waiting to hear, so he doesn't know where he's going yet.
Well, like Kendall's been in Israel for, you know, 4 weeks and is there for another two.
That's a hell of a spring break trip.
It is. It's huge. I mean, it's really the end of the year. It's, you know, Solomon Schachter Private School. And, you know, they end the year being done with academics as of December. And then they go on this Israel trip. And then the last part of the year is they have to do something either entrepreneurial or community service wise. So essentially she's done. Essentially she's, you know, ready.
You went and visited her?
We did. I went 2 weeks ago. It was great. Loved it. Tel Aviv
is supposed to be a very European city, right?
I love it. I could live there. I mean, it's got everything you want. It's European, and then it's like, you know, 50 yards to a beautiful beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, wide. There's so much beach to be had, and the sand is nice, and, you know, it's the Mediterranean Sea, but still, you know, from my perspective, you can tell me it's the Mediterranean Ocean. I don't know
how
different.
Right.
And good restaurants, good food, good shopping. Dollar's relatively strong there. I guess it's strong everywhere, so that was good. Yeah, I just really enjoyed it. And this time around, there wasn't any of this, okay, you know, 9 a.m, wake up, get on the tour bus, go see, you know, this thing, that thing.
You just chilled and
just
enjoyed
chilled the
city,
entire time.
So like you'd see any other.
Exactly. There wasn't one.
Immersed yourself in the culture in the city.
It would have been, if Kendall went to like Fort Lauderdale, it would have been the same sort of sightseeing thing.
That's cool. I'd like to get back there. I'd like, you know, not for.
When did you go? You've been there?
When I was 17, I was there. Mm-hmm. It was a long time ago. I'd like to get back there to see this, to see the country.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh. There we go again with that goddamn phone call. Anyway,
the things that happen.
Nothing. Yeah, that's how it goes. You know, you said something that actually, that, you know, the Mediterranean Sea, it could have been the Mediterranean Ocean. Mm-hmm. For all, you know, it, like, that's the same thing with, like, Lake Michigan. You're on it. It's like, what is this? It could be a fucking ocean for all.
Right.
You know, there's waves coming in.
I can't see
beach.
Anything on the other side.
Right. It's once you can't see anything.
Once you can't see anything.
Once you look at it and all you see is that horizon.
Right.
I guess
the waves aren't as big. They're like not, even at right. even in the Mediterranean, like the waves aren't. I mean, guys were surfing and stuff, but it wasn't as big as, let's say, you know, Jones Beach or something like that. You know,
I'm just gonna go for future sake. I'm gonna go and untouch that phone. Hold on. Mm-hmm.
This is throwing me off. So you guys don't know, like, there's a video feed that we're watching, but it's a little bit
off. Excuse me as I fall.
we can't even edit that stuff out anymore.
No, it's all like live.
All right. Oh, I see Alan Perlstein had posted. So, David Allen with the YEA and some exclamations.
I'm back, ladies and gentlemen.
There he is.
Look at that. And I see
Look,
myself
he's, now he's
five
coming
seconds
back.
Later. That's kind of cool. Right. Just in case I curse.
Time travel.
I'm just watching myself say what I said 5 seconds ago. This is fucked up. So we also have, additionally, coming up on the docket, we have a, I'm just going to call it, Social number two.
Yeah. Well, this, yeah, exactly.
Howard, myself, moi, Duke.
Those of you who know me as Howard.
Moi and Duke will be heading out to Long Island again to rekindle the relationships with our I guess they were our girls for many, many years.
Many years. All our
but
years.
The Swatona girls, Lori will be there as well.
Mm. Interesting.
That's an intrigue, isn't it, moi?
It will.
Especially with me getting engaged. Hold on, I want to actually...
This is it. She knows this is the last opportunity she'll have.
Maybe my third wife. Sorry, Cindy. I'm glad you're not listening. You know, that's just a joke.
She's got the live feed.
It's just a joke. How would I tell her
my inter-girlfriend will not be there.
How would I tell Cindy to watch this?
I don't know. Send her the link.
I have to get it on the Facebook.
Yeah. On Facebook, Steve Popkin is saying that he's having some trouble finding it on the live stream app. But... I don't, you know.
Popkin, I expected more out of you. David Allen has his down.
I know David's got it right.
If there was like, no offense, DL, one's awesome, and I forget, no offense, much.
It's
respect.
A lot more than
Thank
zero.
You very,
man.
Very much for being our first guest. But if we had like 10 people on here, this would be kind of
it'd be great because
cool
they could sort of navigate where we go on things.
So
you know,
let me figure this out. On that, I guess I don't have a rush right now.
We could be the listening. Hub. Yeah, I don't know if it works on like Android phones. It might work on iPhones, but definitely works on computers.
Oh, I could test that too, obviously.
Okay, during the podcast? Hey guys, just hang with us as Alan tests it out on his phone.
Copy and, I don't know, this is too hard. Copy link, there we go.
Wait, David Allen, Popkin is audio, I am video. It's true. If it's gonna be raining and you're in the social hall and you need some cartoons to be displayed, I'm calling David. Steve.
Excuse me, folks. I'm just making.
Let me know when there's a concert. And I guess my favorite movie from the social hall was.
What was? Did you have a favorite movie in the social
hall? What was it? It was like they only had like three of them, right?
What
like
were they? I don't recall.
There was it was a Marx Brothers movie. I don't know if it was like Going to the Opera, Night at the Opera, or
Do you really
Day at the
think
races.
A bunch of kids at Swago wanted to see a Marx Brothers movie?
Listen, man, they must have bought that shit like in 1952 and held on
and
to
got,
it.
And he with perpetual rights to use it for forever.
You know, an interesting thing, though, was the Sunshine Makers. It was a cartoon that they had, because it had a couple of cartoons, too, I guess, for just light drizzle. You know, it wasn't like a downpour and a two-hour commitment.
Just in case you needed to.
Right. So, and then that became pretty popular because they used to show it at Grateful Dead concerts, the same cartoon. I mean, you know, without the audio. Do you remember it was like, it's on YouTube. Just check out the Sunshine Makers. Well, maybe we'll get technologically savvy enough where we can actually put that like in a corner of our box and show it to our audience.
Now you know what the upgrade dollars are for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, listen, man, we haven't asked you for your dollars yet. And look at us.
So I'm just going to do this. Let's see what happens here.
Okay, what are you going to do? Oh.
Okay, so... Can we go live on this? What would happen? Would like your computer explode or
something? No, I guess you could. I guess you could check it out.
But what is that? Why would I care about that? I guess is the bigger
question. Let's see. Let's see if people on Facebook could just click on that thing. Because people, you know, you think people know what they're doing and they don't. We're going to see if our live feed actually comes through on the
live.
Facebook post.
That's a fucking vein we are.
I guess if you hit play and see what happens. We're taking Facebook. There you go. Go right back to this thing. It's easy.
Well, that's where we are, though.
You're not going to miss us.
Oh, this is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to get feedback because we're...
Like, no, I turned the volume down.
No,
believe
I mean, like,
me,
audio
that took some figuring out. It was like,
all right. So it's just going to stream in and then... all right, I can get rid of that. No longer there. Back because we're here already. Why do it twice? So what was I just saying?
I don't know. You see, it's amazing. When people say that, what was I just saying? It serves the opposite purpose, I feel like. Like, if you didn't say that, I could have told you what you were talking
because
about.
Because you're
but when
distracting
you, the second you say
yourself
that,
to
it's like,
think about it.
It clears the cachet, you know?
Is it cachet or cash?
I don't know.
I think it's cash.
Is it cash?
Yeah. I have enough developers in my office.
All right.
But I hear you. There's the cash.
I guess if it doesn't have the accent over the E.
Accent aigu.
Stay out of it. It's funny. I was having a same kind of conversation about the color chartreuse. What color do you think chartreuse
it's like
is?
Like a bluish kind of color.
It
isn't
is.
It?
I always thought it was red. Like, do you remember chartreuse being red?
It could be.
I think it switched.
I can't
somehow
make any promises.
Somehow they switched it. And cyan, too. Like,
I don't
cyan.
Know
I was,
that is.
Like, that's
I don't
like
know.
That blue. Like, for printer ink, like when your blue runs out, they call it cyan.
Seems weird that there's almost this other.
Can't call it blue?
There's this other spectrum of colors that exist for your printer. That you never engage, you know, you don't engage those colors at any other point in time.
But they could call it blue, yellow, and red, man. They don't have to go out and be like, it's cyan. There's got to be some purpose to that, where it's confusing, you need to check, and you forget at the store, so you buy two. You know, you buy, I think
sorry,
it's red.
I was just looking at this in the camera.
Don't do that, man. It's
oh, hold on. Chartreuse is green. Well,
Chartreuse
DL.
Is green. DL. This is
good.
This
is
great,
awesome.
Man.
We got
know,
DL
David.
Listening and telling us some facts.
Okay.
So where are you right now, Dave? Where are you listening? Where are you listening from?
David, was Chartreuse red in the 70s? Just curious. Because I think they switched it over. I think there was some sort of like...
I think I have to hold my chin down a little bit.
Parallel more. Universe where it was a different color at one time.
Where is the office, DL? There's a little delay in terms of our questions and responses, but it's still... Fuck, how cool is this?
It's only 20.
DL's responding. I know. Oh, he's out in Valley Stream, no longer in... used to be in the city, did you not?
It's as if we had like a podcast guest that was deaf and mute. We're going to have him on. He's going to communicate via text.
It's we'll Stephen communicate Hawkins. It to you.
Nah, it's cool. I love it. It's all right. I've been everywhere, man. Haven't we all, brother? Yeah. Haven't we all?
Peace.
And the only place I really am is in
what
Damascus.
What do we do to pause?
We don't. I don't know. I haven't figured that out yet. I mean, this is a work in progress. Like, we'll figure it out as we go along. I'm sure there's a way to do it. I'm sure there's a way to sort of create like a screen that says, we'll be right back.
Just to add a little bit to the dimension of this all.
Talk to me.
Is this what we're going to want to post as a podcast, though, when people can't really see that, like, is it all going to tie out? Are they different things?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking we do this, and we still do exactly what we did with the Podbean thing. Like, we'll still have it where, like, when we introduce Russ, we'll have the bugle calls, intro with the songs.
None of that again. It'll be produced.
That still stays the same, but this is just sort of a...
But is everything that happens on this going to end up in the...
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, too.
I think so.
Okay.
I mean, we haven't reached the point yet where we've, like, oh, we need to take a break. You know, because you're answering the phone or, you know.
I'm a little disappointed that Popkin isn't live at the moment.
He's having problems with the feed. I think he might not be near a computer. That might be the problem. It doesn't work in mobile. We're a little ahead of the curve.
We're a little ahead of them.
We're looking to get these guys some funding so they can break out the Android app.
We're going to have to put that link up to Amazon.
Mm-hmm. Get a little Kickstarter campaign for these guys going. Maybe there's a different, you know, listen, when we talked about doing this, I just searched it, and this is the first thing that came up. So I'm like, okay, let me see this. And it seemed to work. But maybe there's one where they have an Android app. I don't know. But, yeah, you know, ain't broke.
So we're, just to give some people's perspective on where we are right now, we, looking straight in front of us is a gorgeous New York City skyline.
Take our word for it.
We will try and, as the day progresses, as the podcast goes on, maybe we'll be able to flip ourselves around here.
Well, we should because we've always said it would be like the old, like, Tonight Show.
It's like exactly.
But with a literal.
But with really the skyline.
No screening. Shit. Yeah.
You know, I feel bad. I wimped out a little bit.
How so?
The other day, Cindy and I were down at a restaurant called Lure down in Soho,
mm-hmm.
and
seafood.
Yeah, seafood. Yeah. And sitting at the table, I'm like, that has to be Cousin Brucey.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I wouldn't go over. I was just not.
Oh, it's such an easy entree.
It was. It was. Well, the entree is easy. I just didn't feel like.
But, what are you going to say, though? You know?
That's what I mean. That's how I felt. After, I'm like.
I've always felt that way about celebrity sort of sightings and hellos. It's like, really? Loosely. Like, yeah, well, he is. I mean, he is.
Yeah.
The thing is, you got the Swago thing. So it's almost like it's more he's a Swago guy than he's a celebrity.
If that was Cousin Brucey, because that's part of the problem, is I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't sure? No, hey, Cousin Brucey. Uh-huh.
Do you know what he looks like that well?
I get that all the time.
100%.
No, but then I could listen. You know what? I would listen in on his conversation a little bit.
He was a little too far for that.
All right. And see if he's referring to himself in the third person. Mm-hmm. And if he is, then it's him.
Hi, thanks for coming over to say hello to Cousin Bruce.
Hey, Swago, love it there.
You know my son Johnny?
You know Moose? I don't like that guy.
He has a bad Karnak.
So what was that? Moose posted about that. What was it? Moose made fun of his toupee during Sagamore?
But then after you say that, the guy had a bad toupee on too. So if you're listening, Cousin Bruce, I apologize.
I know. It's sort of, we've taken the mantle from Cousin Brucey in a way, right? Because he's a radio guy. And now,
you know, he's got.
We should have him on.
He has a serious, we could get him. Well,
how funny would that be? How funny would that be?
That would be funny. He would come on, I bet you.
Let's ask him. We could say, like, listen, we're doing a podcast. We've always looked up to you as a broadcaster. You know, it'd be great to have you on. Then I'd feel bad. Then we'd have to treat him, you know.
I don't even think we have to kiss his ass at all.
Really?
We're doing a podcast that's Swago stuff. What more? Well, a little kiss ass. Right. What more?
I guess you can go kiss ass if you got to. You see
where
how it goes.
The greatest Swago legend ever.
No, now, you know, you're not kissing his ass?
No, I am, but I'm not going to kiss it around his WABC bad DJ.
I'm going for his Swago.
I'm kissing
Craig.
Swago ass, not WABC.
Green and white ass.
You know,
I got you. I got you. I still think what we got to do, especially now that we have this, I don't know how.
Cousin Brucey.
Cousin Brucey's chiming in. The thing is, too, like, if you're watching this thing live, you can see the chat live, too. So
I assume that was DL.
I can't believe Cousin Brucey's, you see?
The fucking guy listens to everything
I do. Guy's all concerned. There's, like, competition in the broadcast world from Swago.
How cool is this?
This is great. Cousin Brucey checking in again. Cousin Brucey changed his name back to David Allen. Allen. Oh.
So it was David Allen. It wasn't Cousin Brucey after all.
D'Al, you're rocking this, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
This is hysterical. Holy shit, Cousin Brucey's chiming in. He is listening.
That's fucking good.
We should get him. We got to get Stan Feld, man. Because you know what? Not to Kenny Horror the thing, if I'm pronouncing that right. But like, I don't know. He's not going to be here for the 10th anniversary of the ski slope, is he?
How dare you.
Maybe he is. Oh, maybe shit. He is.
What was Stan's wife's name?
Diana.
I just got a text from Diana. Fuck you, Bender.
No, Stan Feld will be popping up. Yeah, I'm healthy as a horse, you bastard. Nah, but we should drive up to his place and like, I don't know if he has Wi-Fi, but if he does, we could do it right from his home and like and I do the broadcast there. And,
yeah, absolutely,
and he's got to be a treasure trove of shit. Stan,
absolutely.
He's got. I mean, and
even if it's just to get a Stan, the numbers man.
Right. I mean, I'll join in on that. But he's got to know some. I mean, you know, he's got to know some stuff. He's got to have some stories that like would be incomparable to anybody else.
So what do I do to go get another drink? We don't pause. I just go get it.
You just go up and get it. You just go up and get. At this point, maybe we figure out how to
Why
do a commercial
are you going
break
solo for a couple of moments here, Brian.
All right, let me do.
Let me just tell you this.
My reading.
People are listening to us, boy. This is no longer about you and I enjoying ourselves. This is about our responsibility to the people of the world.
I was going to limit it to Swago
and
Swatone.
It's really the planet. World.
I got you.
And we have that. We owe them that. And I just want to say that doing this podcast with you.
I'm so nervous about you getting up and me having to do it by myself. I'm like, oh, shit, what am I going to talk about?
Doing this podcast with you. It's been life-changing for me. Well, actually, in all seriousness,
okay,
we have a fucking blast doing this.
No, this is great.
Amazing.
It's very gratifying and satisfying and every-fying. But it really is. I mean,
it's electrifying.
It is. We've got the hip-hop shit going now. I'll
be right back.
I'll go pour. It's been fun in doing it with you, Alan, and it's also been a great sense of accomplishment in terms of creating the energy of Swago and Spitona and getting these people not only to listen but to be on here and talk. And that's my soliloquy, man. You know, it's a little difficult when you're sort of soloing on this thing. But I don't know. Anybody else in the chat? Oh, David Allen's got some more stuff. Pearl, did you contact Russ or did he contact you? I'm gonna give my take on what happened there. Alan was in Thailand, took a vacation with his now fiance. They weren't affianced at the time, and I believe Alan was watching Inside Man with Thai subtitles.
I was. And I had a little back and forth with Russell at that time.
And you found him on Twitter, right? It was a Twitter contact.
Well, I've had some email exchanges over the bunch of years. I have his email address.
All right. I don't think I've heard from Russ since like 2000. You know, since the old website. Like he sort of vanished, and that was it. And then all of a sudden, Inside Man came out, and he was gone. He was off in Los Angeles.
He is friendly with Pam Bleckman.
Mm-hmm.
So I had when I was dating Pam, that's a bunch of years ago already. I had interactions with him, which was nice, and a couple of times along the way. So he was excited to join us.
Yeah, and it wasn't like it was a falling out with Russ or anything. It was just he's gone. So, he's always been one of our super solids. Yeah,
hold on. Alan Pearl, did you contact Russ or did he contact you?
I've already. This is part of my solo.
Is this why you're bringing this?
Yes.
Excuse me. I contacted Russ. Excuse me. God, I'll clear my throat like that again. I contacted Russ, Dave, and he couldn't have been more enthusiastic to come join us. That's good. We got a question.
I know.
So now there, some of our listeners are leading
this is
the
how
dialogue.
It should be. We should just be the hub. Right? We should be like the hub of the Swago.
I will say
network.
One thing.
Go ahead.
If
interrupt me, but go ahead.
Excuse me one second while I cough.
Bastard.
If we could set up like a Swago night, we could have like do our trivia games. We could do like we could have
this
a whole
you could play College Bowl now.
College Bowl, we could do that on here. We could sort of set it up for like 2 weeks down the road.
Mm-hmm.
And have a live stream and do this and do a couple of games, a couple
dude,
of
I'm thinking
stuff.
Gold Rush in Manhattan.
What? I love it.
You like it, right? Just nuggets hidden all over. Limited to Manhattan. I'm not going to do like Staten Island, Brooklyn, or anything like that. But, you know, whoever brings back the most nuggets, you cash them in, you get your cash. It's casino
night.
Sky's
the limit with the interactivity now, Moya.
I'm a little over the top, maybe. But
we can do anything we want to do.
Mm-hmm. It's our domain. We've bought the camp. We are Sheldon.
It is a little odd having the...
having the what?
Sorry, I was reading Dave's. I guess he's been in touch with Russ on Twitter.
Yes.
I was happy to find him on Twitter. Sorry, Dave, I'm reading your personal
stuff. No, this is how it should be.
We've been in touch via email, but it's good to have the visual, as little as you get from Twitter.
He should be entertaining on Twitter. Not on the podcast, but on Twitter.
I don't think he's very active on Twitter, though.
No, I looked him up, and it didn't. I didn't follow him, so my apologies to Russ. But yeah, it only seemed like he had like three tweets.
I personally don't use. I went cold on Twitter big time.
Yeah,
I used it for business, like a lot of business interactions.
Yeah, I saw you. I follow you. So every now and then, there'd be this sort of subjective, judgmental thing about your business that you'd throw out.
Yeah, it'd mostly be business stuff, industry related stuff. But then I interject personally.
Well, some music stuff too. Your Arctic Monkeys
music
stuff.
Yeah. Anyway.
I use it for like getting in touch with companies. I mean, it's basically like, hey, you know, your customer service sucks, and it's like, you know, I'm having an issue, and they're actually very responsive.
They're actually more responsive.
They're more responsive on Twitter than you have to make a phone call.
I completely agree.
Yeah, because it's all public. You know, it's like,
exactly.
All right, now it's
shame them into
absolutely. They go so out of their way. So recommendation: all the Swagos Petona people, get on Twitter if for no other reason than to have your consumer disputes resolved in your
favor. You no longer have to like. Do Arnold Diaz shame on you?
Yeah, because
go straight down the pipe with your own shit.
It is.
Take it to the pipe.
You don't
want to
worry
hole.
About that. Yeah, and it's like I don't know. I this past week, I think I tweeted like two or three things like politically.
I don't notice it.
Oh well, no.
I guess because I don't log on.
Well, one was Wired magazine posted a picture. I like science, so Wired's in my follow, and they posted a picture of like Manhattan. Like completely underwater and saying, you know, this is what Manhattan's going to look like 100 years from now from global warming. And I'm just like, you know, why don't you guys dedicate an issue to the global warming thing instead of showing me an artist's depiction of how Manhattan's going to look 100 years from now? Like, to me, that's propaganda. And not to get into the whole global warming issue, but like, you're a science magazine. Like, if anybody should be dedicating resources.
I don't need the New Yorker comic strip on the wire.
Exactly. Like, come on, dedicate an issue. Right. There are people on both sides and have them. That's the thing about this, too. It's like the debate is over. And it's like the debate never began. Like, I don't remember Channel 7 saying we're going to dedicate 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock. And we're going to have a big debate of all the 97% of the scientists that think it's good and 3% that don't. And, you know,
in all
hear
fairness,
them out.
I don't think anyone would want to listen to it.
But so what? If it's that important an issue, then they should be like, we have to do this as a gift to society. We're not concerned about commercial breaks and profits we're going to make. Like, we need to do this. And if the media is not willing to do that, then you're full of shit. Then don't.
Well, it's not the
don't shame me.
Well,
motherfucker.
I don't think what the media says is that's completely irrelevant. What the media says.
No, it's not because they're on the side that
there's facts. There's the facts and there's what we should do. Who cares what the media says?
Because the media, if the media tends to, I believe at least, believe in global warming, climate change.
Well, most people believe in global warming.
Okay,
agreed. Media.
So if you believe in it, if you're the CEO of NBC Universal or ABC,
and you're a believer,
isn't it worth your time to dedicate 3 hours of a true debate on the issue? And I've never seen one. I've never seen a true debate on the climate change issue anywhere. So when people say the debate is over, my radar goes off, and I'm just like, listen, whatever the substantive answer to that issue is, procedurally, you fucked it all up because there hasn't been a debate at all.
Sorry, I thought I was flicking away. I thought that it was something for us, but it was just a notification for your Facebook account, something or other.
Oh, really?
Some event.
And apologies to Ed Burke, man. You know what? I maybed, and I really was. I was when I maybed. It wasn't just like I'll maybe him, and you know, I really thought like possibly I would go to his wife's concert thing tonight, and then we wound up scheduling the podcast at exactly the same time as his wife's concert. So you know, if it happens again, I'll go. I really would like to see
Ed.
It.
We apologize.
Ed's my favorite. Guy, I didn't really know at Swago because he was a waiter when I was an Eagle, but I didn't really have much interaction with him at that point in time. But my favorite guy I didn't know at Swago from Swago, who I know now.
Getting back
sense?
To the global warming, yes.
All right.
That's
not some Cousin Brucey ass kissing right there. That's the truth.
I completely agree with you that the vast majority of... Cindy, I thought she was replying about the streamcast. She couldn't care less. Something else.
Something
the vast
about the wedding.
Majority of people.
The napkins aren't right.
The vast majority of America, if you ask them, well, why do you believe global warming exists? They would say because
97%. 97% of
right,
scientists
right.
who study this
right.
believe it exists.
Right. And that's not a reason for you to agree, you to believe it.
That's scary. That's no
right.
reason at all.
A reason for you to believe it is because you've reviewed the scientific analysis.
Right.
And
Well, I haven't reviewed it, but it's been explained to me in such a way where I can I see how it
That's
makes sense.
That's what I mean. That's okay. what I mean. We're okay. laymen. We're right. not expected to
speak for yourself, motherfucker.
I'll tell you. Without let's not. It's very interesting because I think this is relevant. What we just said about being laymen, I think this is relevant to the email scandal with Hillary Clinton.
Okay,
and here's why. I think, and this I was going to say to you about what we were talking about with. You were upset about Obama not calling out anti-Semitism in that mm-hmm. particular. Empathy is what really drives humans and human opinion. How close we are to actually having experienced the particular situation is so critical in determining what we believe about anything.
Agreed. Totally agree.
And sorry, I just lost my train of thought because it's not related to the global warming to what did we say just after that?
The Hillary Clinton email you were just
right.
going into.
So the reason I think that, well, A, I'm not a big fan of hers to start with, and B, I share everybody's like, what the fuck? Who the hell do you think you are? Like,
it's crazy. Like you weren't using state.gov. Like what?
But what I was going to get to is that every person, I think, in America mm-hmm. can understand that. Like, the idea of, well, you just were supposed to do email on the government server, and who are you to be above that? I actually think this is going to plague her more than other things that might
done.
Be. I think this is really going to hurt her tremendously because the average person can understand it. If you're going to play games at that level... And I'm not saying it's true because I'm not even talking about our policy or anything related to that.
I think you don't even have to delve into the nuance of the issue. I'm like, if somebody at either CrossPixel or Flying Point
right.
used their Yahoo email
right.
address consistently, not once in a while because it was the only thing they had access to, but consistently, instead of using their company email to communicate with your clients, wouldn't you be like, hey?
Of course, and I'd say something, and if they kept doing it, I'd fire them.
Right, and this is, okay, so that's your employee. This is your right. your account director.
Well, nobody kept saying to her, could you please switch back over?
You had to?
Well, have to at the time.
I don't even know why we go past step one of like, what do you mean?
It was recommended.
So everyone who received an email from Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State received it from Hillary at ClintonEmail.com?
Well, that's what I didn't understand. Didn't everyone in the world know it? Or just
I guess, but like, but if you received an email from Hillary Clinton, I mean, let's assume you're Barack Obama
right.
or you're the Secretary of State of Britain or whatever the... analogous position is there. And it didn't say, Hillary, H. Clinton at, U.S.
.state.gov, whatever.
And it was a Clinton email. You'd be like, what is this?
I think I was being spammed.
A little bit, right? You'd be like, right, exactly. Like, is this real? Is this like the Nigerian sort of prince asking me for $11 million? It's just beyond me that we're even past that next step of like, well, she used this because, it's like, that doesn't matter. Like, even at companies, nobody uses... yes, like I said before, like Yahoo or Gmail, if you're in an emergency situation,
sure.
you can't, your server's down, you use it.
The
but
file's too big, it didn't work on my other,
exactly.
There's reasons, but I agree. But I do think that that's such a driver of what people's opinions and where we are more passionate in terms of the arguments we make. It's all about empathy, and it's why I tend to, when it comes to the subject of Israel in particular...
Mm-hmm.
I kind of look at all the people that were affected by the Holocaust who were closer to it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand why they're so strongly Zionist. I get that. Like, mm-hmm. that makes sense to me. But on some level, those are the people who maybe shouldn't be participating in the conversation.
Because they're so emotionally
yeah,
vested in the issue.
Like, it's like saying, who do you ask about capital punishment? Do you want to go ask everyone
the guy whose
kid
wife
was
killed.
Murdered, right?
Yeah.
No, those people aren't in a position to be as objective as others could be. However, I'm not looking... But it's interesting. I feel like that's the key thing that makes people act, and it's the key thing that drives what we feel about... politics and society, and
I think it's what draws you in. But then I think you have to be able to try to at least make a good faith effort to intellectualize the other side's argument on things and see if it makes sense and to what degree it makes sense. Like, you have to go that extra route. I think a lot of people don't. I think a lot of people sort of stuck in their ways and don't, you know, and don't sort of get up to speed on things. Like, for me, as for instance, like the whole thing with Ferguson.
Okay.
Like, you know, I've sort of been of the position of like, listen, this guy, Michael Brown, was right. a thug. You know, the guy tried to take the cop's gun. Agreed. And, you know, deserved what he got.
Agreed.
But, you know, and then the Justice Department going into Ferguson, I'm like, come on, man. Like, you know, what are you doing? You know, like, this isn't right. But I guess, you know, now they've shown the sort of disparity of the traffic stops and all that. I'm like, you know, all right. You know, maybe it was a roundabout way of showing some sort of racial disparity. But I guess it does show something. You know, was it worth the while to get there to see this? That I don't know. But, you know, it does appear that there was some racial disparity with respect to the police department.
There's, you know, I thought one of the most... Did you see that speech that James Comey, the director of the CIA, gave?
No.
He gave one of the... It got a lot of accolades. And what he was really saying is that there's inherent bias, period. Like, you and I could both...
Of course.
Intellectually, you ask me a question, you know, about race. You know, ask me a question that might... try and dig into your racial feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And intellectually, most of us are going to answer with not racist comments.
Right.
But ultimately, we react. We're afraid of the other.
Of course.
And that's how we react as human beings. And that's natural. But it can't move the next step.
Well, that's my thing. I think we'd be better off if we acknowledged exactly what you're saying, that there is this otherness and that, you know, it doesn't help to sort of have a narrative go on in your head about, oh, I should act this way because there's this otherness. It's just almost like acknowledge it and move on. Because I don't think otherness necessarily means like I want, like that leads to hate or dislike or fear. It's just otherness. And I think we tend to sort of make it where the second any sort of disparity is shown, it's hatred. Like for instance, like the Ferguson thing, like they had the... like six emails over 4 years of, you know, sort of racist emails comments, about, how does a black man keep a job for 4 years? Right. Like, is that racist? Like, it depends how you define racist. It's like, yes, of course it's a racist joke because you're talking. But does that mean that the officer that wrote that would stop a black person before he'd stop a white person and give that black person a hassle? Does that show that kind of hatred?
I don't think it does.
I think it's a large leap from going from that email.
I don't know, but
email.
It's hard to say that someone who writes that email isn't more inclined.
Absolutely more inclined.
To go do something
but
on
I just
that
think it's
level
such, I think it's such a
doesn't.
I think it's such a wide gap, though, between that and then actually being like a prick, like being an asshole who's like, you know, I have it in for black people. Like, I want to hurt black people. Like, it just seems I haven't met many people that are that of that mindset. And everyone's like, well, you know, you grew up in New York, but I also went to Indiana for 4 years. And even there, like there were maybe one guy who was that way. So my own personal experience in terms of, and I think that's all anyone can go on. It's like in terms of racism, like, you know, your own heart to a certain degree. And then, you know, the people, you know, and like, how many racists have you known? Like, I haven't known really any, you know, maybe a couple.
Racists in the sense of I want to overtly go out and hurt other races?
Yes.
I don't
know. As opposed to I wish harm on this particular person because of their skin color or their ethnicity.
I mean, I'm not going to name names, but I did see someone on Facebook who's not as active these days who's like, I'm glad that the thug is dead. And I agree with you. Michael Brown was a thug.
Mm-hmm.
Like, in that particular case, it was very clear to me. I mean, your cop, I don't... If he's reaching for the cop's gun, end of discussion.
You can't pick a worse situation.
And you know what? The fact that, of course it matters that he just robbed a convenience store. I'm even more nervous about this guy. Right. He's robbed a convenience store.
Here is, and then the whole story was like, well, no, the cop pulling him over had nothing to do with that. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But then on the flip side, the guy out in Staten Island, that was not right.
That wasn't right either.
That was not right. You know, what happened there?
Listen, just taser the guy. You know, just
he probably would have died from that, too, because I hate to say it, but he just seemed like he was pretty out of shape, man. It's fucked up.
I know. You know, it's just...
Hey, Dave, are you still listening out there? Are we boring you at this point? Are we okay? Okay, we'll wait about 10 seconds for your answer.
Where's his tweet or his chat? But I don't know. I think people are overall not as bad. I mean, there's certainly psychopaths and bad people. But I just think overall, societally, I don't think we're as bad a people as we make ourselves out to be sometimes. And it's very self-defeating. It's very self-defeating to think that our society thinks of itself as racist and all this shit exists in this. Because I do feel like there's a large segment of the African-American population that does feel as though there's a large segment of the white population that does wish them harm. That does, like, oh, let's keep the black man down. I don't like them because of their skin color. They're not. And I just don't see it. I mean, I'm sure there are people that way, but well, I just don't think it's a societal issue.
There definitely
issue.
Are. I mean, but is it at the fringe?
It's the fringe.
Margins,
it's
absolutely.
Totally at the fringe.
Absolutely.
It's totally at the fringe. And we should celebrate that. Like, we should
Agreed.
Celebrate the fact that that's the case now. But
that actually leads me to a second thing, which is about fear.
Okay.
And how much that motivates us as well. Mm-hmm. And let's just look at ISIS right now as an example of that. We clearly have to contain this threat. Mm-hmm. It's something that's there. We certainly don't want it showing up in the United States.
Right.
But even if it did start, forget ISIS, even pre-ISIS. Mm-hmm. Go back 10 years, even pre-9/11. Go back prior to that. If there was an environment in the United States, similar to some other European and Middle Eastern countries, where... Or even in, yeah, certainly Britain and Ireland, where bombs were going. Let's say there was a scenario where every month there was something happening throughout the United States.
Okay.
A scenario we're trying to avert right now.
Right, that we're fearful will happen.
We're fearful will happen. Mm-hmm. The reality is, let's say 1,000 people are killed, and it's horrific. But when you look at that in the context of how many... people are going to die because they're going to fucking text while they're driving. When you look at it in the context of so many other things that we can do to address deaths that are occurring, our infrastructure, bridges collapsing, railroads going off the thing, I feel like we make such a huge deal over it. But when you really look at it in terms of numbers... Mm-hmm. It's not, it's the fringe, it's the margins again, yet fear makes us go so overboard that we have to bomb these people and you know, build our military up to some crazy level
to
keep it in containment, and it's crazy.
That's looking at it kinetically, though. If you look at it potentially, I think the fear is, listen, these guys, you know, if they get... an Islamic caliphate and somehow get their hands on a nuclear weapon, and then you know the potential of this thing becoming so bad exists. I mean, it's very similar to, you know, when we were kids and growing up and worried about, you know, nuclear war with the Soviet Union. It was sort of the same thing.
Yao weighed in here. He says, if you weigh 300 pounds and have asthma, perhaps you shouldn't be resisting arrest.
I mean, he's right about that, man.
That is true. I'm not going to argue with that. Agreed.
But the context of that, perhaps six cops
shouldn't be out there looking to arrest some dude for selling Lucy's.
And not only that.
I use Lucy's like I'm one of the dudes on the street. Hey, those are loose cigarettes for the white people in suburban America.
And the thing is, too, like from what was the guy's name? Garner. His perspective,
Garner.
Too. He had just broken up a fight between two people. Like he was.
Know that. What did he do?
A fight had broken out, and he's the one that broke it up between two people. Like, so mm-hmm. from his perspective, I mean, put yourself in his shoes. He was the guy who, like, now, like, he was a peace officer. He was trying to do good. Like, and now the officers are coming down and busting him about, like, selling cigarettes.
Apparently, they're giving him shit all the time.
Right. Well, that was the thing, too. So, listen, I'm pretty hardcore about this, too. He shouldn't have... Listen, you don't resist arrest.
You don't resist arrest.
You know,
you put
your hands behind your back
and
go.
You take your pain and go.
You got to do
that.
But, you know, I guess from his perspective, too, and it's wrong, but I guess he saw himself as like, hey, man, I'm acting heroically here. I'm trying to be a good guy. And I'm still getting my balls busted. So,
right.
You know, not that justifies it, but, you know, just to provide some context.
You know, it's easy to put yourself in the position of the police officers. I don't fucking want to die. I'm here.
Dude,
I'm trying to protect
you,
man.
Can you imagine being a Ferguson police officer right now? Like, hey, man, I'm retiring.
No, but you know what? Half a reasonably appropriate percentage of the Ferguson police staff should be
people
black. I mean, let's be. It should reflect the community.
No,
come on.
Fuck it. But community isn't based on. See, then we're breaking things down based on what color your skin is. Like, we should stop with
you
that.
You don't
it
think
be,
it's
the
odd?
The community should be the community.
Okay, but you don't think it's odd that. Okay, let me rephrase it this way. If something is happening within Ferguson where only white officers are looking to come forward and become police officers, something's wrong. Something's wrong.
No, I wish.
And is that the case, or are they just black people just not
wanting to be police officers
for whatever reason?
I don't know. Like, I hate disparate impact analysis. Like, it's a legal concept which basically just looks at things from the racial quality. You know, how this percentage white, this percentage black, and it's such a, you know, it goes back to what I was saying before. It's just a self-defeating concept, I think. It almost implies that we're a racist society, and that if there's any sort of numerical discrepancy,
it's based on
racism
that.
Defined as, again, the hatred, the fear, the ugly, the truly ugly.
Some of it is.
Some of it is, but I don't think anywhere near most of it is. I think it's a very small proportion. Again, I just based it on my own personal experience of, like, how many people have I known that just, like, I hate black people. I would not hire a black person. I would not be friends with a black person.
No one. However, you say that, but you know, they've done many a test where they take the exact same resume mm-hmm. and send it in as William Johnson III, and send the other one in as,
well, listen, man,
Shabiqua,
Rashida Tequita.
Right.
Got to stop with those fucking names, man. You know,
why? That's crazy. That's racist.
All right. Well, name your kid Rashida and, like, to blend that shit out. But it isn't.
Come on. Step back for a second on that. Why would you say that you don't name your child that?
You shouldn't be, you shouldn't have to play into the system by naming a kid, you know, Michael.
But because there's the inherent racism. It's just easy to sway. Go. Oh, it's this built in. It's a they,
but
not
I don't,
a we.
But I don't think it's a hatred. I think it's not a hatred.
It's a we they. Mm-hmm. And I'm more comfortable with we versus they.
Yeah, but, like,
it's an us them. I'm more comfortable with us versus them.
But don't you like having the I think a lot, most people like having, like, it's a self, like, acknowledging thing if they have the black friend, if they have the black coworker that they get along with. Like, I think, like, there's some sort of, and this is ridiculous too, like, they feel like they feel good about themselves. I don't know if it's reverse. I don't know if black people feel.
You know what? I have an office of African Americans, gay, transgender.
You are the most open-minded, progressive dude in my offices.
And
you got some transgender going on?
There was a point.
What is transgender? Is that, like, I'm not even sure what that is.
Either female to male or male to
female.
Like
anatomically or just dressing?
Both. There's okay. degree, okay. right? There was a point where in my office of 16 people, mm-hmm. two were transgender and another one's family member had a transgender family member associated with that person. Isn't that fucking pretty crazy, right?
It's good. That's good. That's very nice of you.
You know something? The individual who works at the company now, she's nobody thinks twice. It's just she. You know, I'm not going to name names, but
right.
It's just she's looked at like anyone else.
And the she like when born was a he. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that whole thing. Like, I don't have an answer to that. Like, you know, whatever it is, it is. I mean, if you feel like, you know, I'll leave it at your discretion.
It falls
into
that empathy thing of them. Right. It's hard for you to connect with it because you can't connect with it. You never had the experience, but I can realize
based on, like, how I know my own life.
Right.
Like, obviously, the best person to make the call on this is the person themselves. Like,
I don't,
what do I know, you know?
Agreed.
All right, so.
We can't take breaks. This is kind of weird.
It is, right? This would be like, all right, there's a little transgender wrap-up, and now we'll take a break.
All right, we're going to figure, you just stop it, and we'll go live again with the second. With part two or something
like
that.
All right, well, we're going to take a 5-minute break.
David, sorry, maybe you should go home from work right now.
No, I'm loving that. I'm loving these chatting with us.
I love you, DL. Thanks for being there, bro.
All right, but we'll be back in, what is it? It's 6:19 now.
We'll be back soon. Check back in at 6:30.
Yeah, you know.
6:30, 6:35.
We'll probably have Russ with us, right? Next time.
I think we will.
All right, so let's
call in at about 10.
We're going to need to technologically figure that shit out, too. So this is a good time for a break.
Peace.
None way, everybody. Oh, where's my fingers?
Are you ready?
Where's my fingers?
Wait, it's going to be 3 seconds more.
Really? My God, how long is our delay?
Ready? Here it comes.
I think I'm talking about... Oh, my Lord.
It's a big delay. It's
like, I guess.
It's
I guess
like 8 or 9 seconds.
We're buffering. We're buffering,
all right,
people.
Peace out.
All right, we'll see you soon. Hey, we're back. We've had some issues in regards to... Oh, now we're going to have some crazy echo. I'm going to turn the volume down. Hello.
This is Cousin Bruce here.
All right, that's gone. Is this working? Audacity? Yes, it is. Okay. Bear with us, people out there on the live stream. We're just...
Or David Allen.
and or.
And Popkin, if he made it.
Yes. This is the better way to see it.
Keith McCoy is haunting us.
Keith McCoy is.
True that.
Keith McCoy is. Like, he would know how to shut this shit off.
Can you see us, DL?
I'm sure he can. This is crazy. I mean, it's one thing to, like, not figure out how to get it going. It's another thing to not know how to shut it off. So, essentially, for those listening to the podcast.
Like a U-log on or something.
Like I know. That. We should. Well, we'll figure that stuff out. We've been live streaming, and we thought we shut ourselves off for a break, but apparently we didn't. So, and we can't figure out how to shut ourselves off. So
it's kind of weird that we can't shut this off. We're going to pay a lot of streaming costs, aren't we?
I guess so. Net neutrality. Look, Suegos Fortuna. Nobody gives a shit about us. You know what, Suegos Fortuna?
People aren't as active as you.
I'm telling you, we got to go to Equinox and Blue Ridge. Look, they're like this guy's pictures of Suetona from the 50s, much more so than us. Like they've never seen a goddamn waterfront before. You bastards. Try to give you live entertainment. Oh, David Allen. It does show 5 viewers. Yes, the audio and video have been nonstop. That's good. I like that. We do have 5 viewers.
We do?
We do have 5 viewers. Thank
five
you, David.
Viewers. Who else is there? Type in. Why is David
come
Allen?
On. Come on, viewers. 3, 4, 5.
Doesn't even matter if it's Cindy. That's okay.
Right. Oh, what's that?
Oh, there's Russ.
Oh, there is Russ. Hang on. I'm going to try to get Russ Gewirtz right here. Russell. Is this Russ?
Yeah.
What's up, man? We got you online. It's Howie. How's it going?
Hey there. How are you, man?
We're doing good.
I can hear him pretty well. Russell, I can hear him great. Allen, how are you?
Wait, let's see. David Allen's on our live feed right now. We just want to make sure he can
hear
you.
You're live now, Russell, just to let you know.
Just to let you know.
Oh, my God. This is a lot of
a lot of pressure.
Sweaters.
David.
A lot of pressure.
David, he's a bit
he's
low.
He's a bit low. All right. How do we fix that?
Let's get him high.
Yeah.
All right. We're working with you. All right. How's that?
Wait,
David?
Am I supposed to hear David?
No.
No,
David,
we don't
David's,
even hear
David's
David.
Communicating
he's just typing
via chat
live
room.
Stream.
We have a chat room now, Russ. We have a live chat.
Got it.
Russ, just to let you know, this is our first episode where we're actually doing a live streaming like video. You can watch this live.
Oh.
This is serious.
Wait, so can I go to this while we talk?
You can.
You can't go on to Facebook. Are you on Facebook?
Do you have a computer? You have access
no,
to
not.
A computer? It doesn't have to be Facebook.
I have my...
All right, let me email you the link. I'll email you the link to your email account, okay?
All right, but I'm not on Facebook.
I don't think
you don't have
to
be.
On Facebook.
You just have to be on the World Wide Web. We'll get you there.
I've heard of that.
Russ, what's up, man? It's been a while. It's good to hear your voice.
I know. I don't know when the last time was.
I'm thinking it's like 2000.
I feel like I saw Pearl and I had dinner in the Hamptons like
we did
8 years ago.
Was that okay. Like at Sushi Zuki or something?
Yeah.
That was where we had dinner.
That's right. With Pam Slovis or whatever.
She's
Pam
now
Bleckman.
Pam Bleckman with 2 children.
Now she's Pam Ellis.
Pam something.
Pam Ellis.
She's Pam
rather.
Something else.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Where are you calling us from? Where exactly are you located?
I'm in my house in L.A., house that I rent, living in for the last year and a half or so.
Very nice. Are you a happy,
beautiful
L.A. person? You like L.A.?
Love it here.
Awesome. Seems to suit you. In a good way. I don't mean that. It seems like L.A. and you seem to go together. That seems to work. In a good way.
It's nice out here.
I think I would like it out there, too, to be quite honest.
I mean, it's just, you know, our summer has begun, which we're all really happy about. And it's just good stuff to do. I was out on the beach playing volleyball yesterday.
Not Newcomb? I still prefer Newcomb.
I don't remember.
It's a better game.
I don't remember Russ taking over the volleyball.
He was a monster, man.
The color war.
No. We will all remember Doug Polifron's towering presence at the net.
Who?
That was
the name is.
Wait,
weird.
Are we recording? Are we on
we're,
now?
We're, yeah,
we're
we are
live.
Actually
we're
on. Yeah.
This is the thing. Okay, good. No, in the like year book that we got at the end of every summer, you know the. They'd have to write an article about the group, and they'd have to mention every, you know, every camper. And, you know, you'd get to the point where it's like, you know, Russell Gewirtz and David Allen were unstoppable in the under-16 soccer tournament. And then there was, when I cracked the code of what this thing was that there was a line in there. Doug Polifron was a kid in our group for a few years, and he was, like, tall and, you know, overgrown.
I don't remember.
And so they referenced his, in volleyball, Doug Polifron's towering presence at the net.
DL just actually texted into us on chatted in. And he's like, yeah, Doug Polifron, the towering presence at the net.
Exactly.
I remember a different big guy from their group.
Neil Arditti.
Neil Arditti. Yeah.
That's
an interesting
Diddy
lesson.
Was, came with a banana.
Yeah. It was something, right? Yeah. It's funny.
That was always the rumor.
Neil Diddy,
I remember there was something
puberty
about his groin, and that was it. Yeah, he had puberty in the juniors or something.
Yeah, we were 12. We were in, like, the Eagles, and he, you know, he was, like, tall. He was, like, 5'8", and, you know, had hair on his big dick, and...
it's intimidating.
But you know what's really funny? When I was in... So that was 1977. In 82, my first year out of camp, I was at Cornell University for the summer. I was there for, I don't know, the program was, like, 8 weeks, 7 or 8 weeks. And apparently Neil Arditti was there in my same program, and I never saw him, never knew him, and I would look around for, like, you know, some six-footer who wasn't there. So apparently, by the time we were 16, 17, he wasn't any bigger than anyone else.
He was 5'5".
I think he might have been. I think he actually was.
He hit his stride at 12, and then it was all downhill from there.
That happens.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
I was one of those dudes. I had a little early spurt where there was a year or two where I was one of the taller people, and then like 7th or 8th grade, and then quickly wore off.
What years were you at camp? Were you at camp, Russ?
75 to 81. Wait, am I going to get this link now or no?
Oh, hold on. Sorry. I fucked up. I didn't. Hold on.
He never sent this.
I want to follow. I want to see how I'm trending.
It's all positive.
It's just the DL.
as far as we can tell.
Two people liked what Russell Gortz just said.
No, we have
people didn't.
We have five viewers, apparently.
We don't know who they are.
There's no identification, though.
I see.
How'd you get the Swago, Russ? Like, what brought you there?
Well, so 75, I was 9 years old, and my good friends in Great Neck were Seth Ott, and I was friendly with, there was Mitchell Pruzan, and both of them were Swago campers for at least like 2 years before me. I think Pruzan, I think they shipped him off as a J, you know, when he was like five, because his brother was there who was older. Mm-hmm. And then Seth probably went the year later. So there was like a couple of years where I was going to summer camp at home and, you know, day camp. And these guys were going to Swago and coming back saying how great it was. So after fourth grade in 75, you know, I'd been asking my parents, I guess, and so they called up Swago, and Stan Feld came over to my house and sat in my living room, you know, with my mom and dad, and told us all about how great it was and the horseback riding and the lake and, you know, and I went. So I get there, and I'm in the cadet bunk, and Seth is there, and Mitch is there, and I cried for a few nights. And the funny part was that I think by my second year...
Did they bunk you up with the guys from hometown, or they separated you?
No, we were... I mean, in the cadets, everyone was together.
Okay.
You know. And then in the juniors, Seth and I were like next... Our beds were right next to each other. Pruzan was in a different one. But what was weird was that was their last year, both of them. So by 77,
Russ came and ruined it.
I don't know what it was, but you know, they stopped, and I kept going. And then I was, you know, by 77, I guess I was friends with David. And oh no, actually, David used to beat me up.
Did he?
And then, David terrorized me for like my first. I think in the cadets.
Well, wasn't
we were not friends right away.
The interesting thing about David, though, right, is he skipped 76. And so, like, I missed him,
too.
Yeah,
he did.
So when he came back in 77, it was like, oh, David Allen? Now, Paul Allen has a younger brother? And then it's like, who does he think he is?
Howie, your first year was 76, right?
76, yeah. Yeah, in the Eagles.
I do remember that, yeah. So, yeah, Paul Allen had a younger brother. And their brother, I mean, you've probably been over the whole Allen family already.
We had David on maybe like a year and a half ago. Yeah, he went through it. It was like 75 people that went from the family, like the Swagos.
Yeah, well, their oldest brother, Richard,
right.
Who was, I think he was kind of gone by the time I got there.
Yep.
But,
yeah, I'd never known Richard. I met him when I was in college, but I never knew him as a in camp.
Yeah, as a camper, yeah.
Or Cindy, or Cindy Allen, for that matter. I don't think I really knew.
You never met her?
Well, I met her like post camp. I remember when she opened like the a store in Greenwich Village that sold nothing but
black
clothing.
Stuff. Yeah,
Black Market,
and it was like it was a great name actually. And you know, so I don't know what happened to Black Market, but it was.
I think their parents lost a few dollars.
Well, we got David on the chat. David might be chiming in soon to let us know how the online business
We'd
is
like
going.
Like to have that money back.
Okay, now I got this link. Oh, this is good.
Yeah, so we. We'll give you a little second here to open it up. Yeah. with you?
So that's how I started, and so I think I went for 7 years, 75, 76, 78, 79, 80, and 81.
So you got to first year senior, or did you get to second year?
No, he was a Color World leader.
Second year, I was a Color World leader. Sure.
You were okay the year we left. I was there.
So let's see if I can name my counselors. Is that a normal question?
That's absolutely. It's very much allowed.
You know, in the cadets, there was, God, I can remember two count. There was a guy named Ralph Choeff.
Whoa.
I think that was in the cadets. He wasn't my counselor, but then there was, I think my counselor's name was Corner, like K-O-E-R-N-E-R. These guys were not campers.
Mm-hmm. British guys or American guys?
American. These were Americans. And so they were cool. And then second year, I mean, in the juniors, you know, it might have been Ralph Choeff was my counselor. That might have been my counselor. I really don't know.
Ralph Kerner is correct, says DL. It's Ralph Kerner.
Oh!
There you go.
For the cadets.
Dave, for the cadets.
Well, we'll let you know when he chimes in. Well, if you're up on the side, you'll actually see
cadets.
David's
yes,
chats.
Cadets.
That's perfect. No, not a lot of lag time on that. I like it.
I'm not quite. I'm on the live stream thing, and it says the ski slope, but I don't see any.
You don't see a chat any, like on to the right of the screen.
I don't think you do. You even see the screen? Do you see your video?
There's
you
no
see
one
us?
Checked in. Check in and chat. No one checked in. Oh, but I have to log in?
Who knows?
No, you don't have to. I think you just have to go there and then click on. There should be like chat, live stream, Facebook, and Twitter to the right of the screen, and just click on.
Yeah,
live stream,
check in and chat. Check in. Okay, so I'm clicking it, but here we go. Okay. So, yeah, and create new account. Oh, this is complicated.
You know, I don't think you have to.
I think you just click.
David, did you create an account, or did you just, I think you just signed in as David Allen, because David Allen was David Allen, and then he was Cousin Brucey, and then he went back to David Allen.
I think everybody.
Let's see.
I didn't set it.
Whatever, I'll just talk. Right.
No need to create an account as DL.
Beautiful.
Okay, 1977. Was my first. Oh, 1977 was a big year because my counselor was Moose.
Yeah. Moose loves you.
You know, the Swago legend. I had two counselors. I had Moose, and the weirdest thing was, you know, we all remember what Moose's real name is, right?
Of course, yeah. Michael Miller.
Michael Miller. And we had two counselors in that bunk, and the other guy's name was Michael Muller.
Oh,
interesting.
That was weird.
That
and he
weird.
Was nothing like Michael Miller. He was kind of a. I don't know.
What year was that, Russ, that you had?
77.
77. Okay.
I think. Think. Wait.
That sounds right.
You know what
I think that's not, like you're an eagle, right?
Yeah, but I'm somehow confused because there was also, maybe that guy, I had an English counselor. I remember an English counselor in the Eagles. Really, you know, sort of handsome blonde guy. No, it was Moose and him. That was it. That year, the English guy, I can't remember his name now. God,
he wasn't Michael Muller.
There was definitely a Mike, but I think that was in the Rangers in 78. But I'll get to that. But there was an English guy in 77, and I remember he had one of those. Remember Bunak?
No, man.
That was the British thing that got the councils over, right?
Oh, Bunak.
Yeah,
it was the organization. I think, yeah.
So there was always, you'd always see Bunak t-shirts, and every year, you know, they had all different t-shirts. And this guy had a t-shirt, this Bunak t-shirt. It was white, and it was that really sort of form-fitted kind of a thing. And I think I ended up getting it from him, like, at the end of the year.
Marble Day?
And that was really, and he had this, I don't remember the guy's name, God. He had this shirt that said, Boycott Bats on Water. And you'd read it, and you'd go, what the hell? Why do you want to boycott bats on water? What the hell does that mean? And finally I asked him, what the heck does
what
that
is
mean?
This movement?
Turns out boycott was the name of some like cricket star. And saying that he bats on water was like a big compliment.
Right. I had it completely reversed. Like I thought we were like, yes, bats are ruining the lake, so we need to abolish them.
It was just like one of those, you know, when you first like get exposed to like culture clash,
right?
You know, okay, everyone in England knows who this guy is, and he apparently bats on. He's so good, he bats on water. But he was a good guy, and he was the first uncircumcised penis.
You know, this comes up quite a bit on the podcast. The shocking revelation when a Jewish kid from Long Island in New Jersey sees the British Council pull his pants down. Yeah. It's like, oh, what the hell? You know, it's like
so funny.
It is. It's like wait, you're deformed. Like no.
Yeah.
You don't understand. You are.
Yeah.
and they're right. We
no,
are.
No, I know. I know. It's amazing that's the natural way. But all right, so big.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But I can practically remember where I was standing as he like walked out of the shower in flip flops, you know. and by the way, let me tell you the funniest.
Very lurid.
So 5.5 years ago, it's my son's bris at my house, and I get up and make a speech, and I literally tell this story in the speech at my son's bris. I have it on video. That you know, it was traumatizing the first time I saw an uncircumcised penis, and I remember I was 12, and I remember thinking, well, what happened to the head of his penis? Where did it go? You know?
Well, that's the thing. Everybody laughed. It's almost like a reverse thing. It's like, wait a second, what do you mean they took something off of mine, but mine seems to have more than yours? Like how is that possible? Something. Right, it looks like yours just ends with no head.
That's how it looked.
It was a learning experience.
The good old days. Yes. I remember. It's funny. John,
really
John,
should have, you know.
John Britton was my first uncircumcised penis. I remember seeing
him. I remember that name.
Yeah, he was the
John.
What was he? I think he was the soccer guy, but he was my counselor. He was in the bunk as an Eagles counselor too. And you know, same thing. Mm. Like you know, the first time.
They should have called us into social hall at the beginning of the summer.
It should have been an orientation.
Warning.
It should have been an orientation on the uncircumcised.
They should have given us
I was
going to
say they should have put it in the brochure.
Right on this, in the carousel
in the show.
By the way, just so you know,
here's what you get to see when you show up at
Swayo. You know, horseback riding, sailing, canoeing, exposure to uncircumcised penis.
It's everything.
Do it all. We're culturally diverse.
I thought the dose, though, of like British culture was a big part of camp. Like especially in retrospect, like the fact that you had these British guys coming over and you sort of incorporated their language a little bit. You'd go home and call people wankers or use the word bloody as an adjective. Uh-huh. You know, it was always it was a very positive thing.
Yeah, it was. Actually, you may remember this. There was one year where I got a shirt, like a football jersey, and I had. I just wanted this so badly. On the back of it, I had the name, you know, across the back. It said Wanker.
Ah.
And it was like, because I thought it was so cool, and in America, that didn't mean anything
right.
to anybody, so nobody cared.
Right, it's like Dave
and
Wanker.
And I walked around with this thing. It was like, and people knew this shirt, like, you know, for a couple of years.
It's funny.
And then, okay, so now, 1978, dun-dun-da-da, Keith McCoy.
Yeah. Yeah, we think Keith McCoy is like the impetus for this podcast too. We think of like if it was never any WBGO or WSGO. Like I don't think we'd be doing this now. Like we sort of got a little bit of experience with mics and like mixers and stuff. So he was an important player. He was a cool guy.
He was great. You guys, by the way, so let's go back to like 15 years ago and or whatever it was when there was the other Swago website.
Right.
And I think it was you, Pearl, or it was one of you guys wrote like a fake Keith McCoy post that I responded to.
I feel like it was me.
Right?
I don't recall what it was.
I think it was Alan, actually.
Yeah, what was it?
It was just like, because there was that big website that was going on that we were all on all the time.
Right, we say like that
and
was
you
Facebook
were like, hey,
before.
It's Baby Bubba Boogie, you know, can't wait to see.
No,
so
no.
Happy to see all you, sweet.
I have a
and I
that
just
was
got
me.
So excited. I stayed up like overnight and I wrote like pages of like, you know, this gushing love letter of how important he was in my life. Which I don't regret, by the way. I got it out of my system. I actually regret that I don't have that now. I wish I did because I mean
what?
That guy.
We do have it.
You got to get me that.
Mark Holtzman has it.
I don't know if Mark Holtzman kept everything, but I know he kept. There was one long thread about like the revolution that took place in 1983, and I think he kept that thread.
He didn't keep the whole site.
I don't know if he kept the whole site, but you know, it's a shame because there was some great stuff on there because that site came along, and that was pre-Twitter and pre-Facebook, and it created this you know virtual network of campers. It was fantastic at the time, and we Alan and I always talk about how stupid we all were. We're like, wow, you could really make this for everybody, and what a great idea that would be. And well,
it's amazing how many people I was blown away. Like 900 something people found that site in like a week. It was just cool how like it just, you know, it showed the power of the internet.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Well, anyway, so there was Keith. And I think the other guy, I think that Mike Muller guy was in the bunk too. But
did you have a water skiing counselor? David Allen chimed in on that.
Yeah, he thinks the British guy might have been a water ski guy, which was our British guy too.
Yeah, he might have.
We had a water ski guy too.
He might. Well, I know your water ski guy was Dave Baker, right?
Right.
Exactly.
I remember him.
Good man.
He was like, he was the man, and I can just I can just remember them sitting in the back of that white station wagon, you know, 70 miles an hour over the road.
Right, with your towel, like, you know, around your shoulders, your ass is hot from the seat.
To that ratty lake called Huntington Lake.
Lake Huntington.
Lake Huntington. I went up there with my wife about, like, 8 or 9 years ago. We went to see Swago, and we stayed at the Calicoon Inn. And then we were driving, and I saw the sign of Lake Huntington. I'm like, wait, one more stop. And we drive around, and we get to, like, where the, you know, where that, whatever you want, the landing, the dock. And it's all overgrown, I think, whatever. And I took a picture of it, and I don't know if I posted it somewhere on the site, maybe. I don't know what it was. I posted it or I sent it, and I think David recognized it as being Lake Huntington. But yeah, and then of course you got to stop at like the store, buy some candy.
Right.
That was like half of the reason I went.
Right. I was more of an acuplaner. I didn't really like or aquaplane. Uh-huh. It took me 20 years to figure out it's not acuplane, it's aquaplane.
Acuplane is the thing you do that's for your pimples.
It's Accutane. I reached the pinnacle of Swago water skiing, which is that I successfully performed the flying dock start.
Oh, wow, on nice. One ski?
Yeah.
Wow.
I feel like I did that as well.
Wow. Was it, Russ? Yeah. Were you a water skier? I guess you were.
I was pretty good. I did that, and then at the end of the summer, like when I came home, and I was like, I was talking about it, whatever. My dad bought me a water ski.
Really?
One ski.
Yeah.
Wow. He could do.
But the funny part is, we never had a boat.
All right. He's saving the money.
Yeah.
We never had a boat.
All right. Well, that hampers it.
Where'd you take that ski?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Let me put this in the pool.
if anybody's looking to buy a mint condition.
Never used.
Never used. 77 edition.
I mean,
O'Brien Wrangler.
It was gorgeous. It was an O'Brien Especial. It was like mostly black with some green neon and.
Could you name another?
I took it to the Bahamas 1 year.
You're taking it on the plane. You got to check this right. shit.
Let me put this in the carry-on.
We did. It was so unnecessary. It was like $160 back in like 1978 or 9 or 10 or 80. I don't know. But
1980, 10.
Nowadays, they'll charge you $200 just to put it underneath the plane.
I know. the water skiing was a big deal. Loved that. But that ride was just,
classic.
You can't put kids in a car like that anymore.
No.
I remember one time there was a guy, and like his job was, he was just the guy that drove the car to water skiing. He wasn't like a water skiing instructor. His name was Stu.
I don't remember him.
His name was Stu, and that's all he did. But he was like a burnt out maniac. Like he drove like very quickly and like dangerously, and that was part of the fun. But it was almost like you were kind of fearful because the guy was like
out of control,
and had no other responsibility other than driving the car. It was like, well, that's all you do here? Like I don't even think he was a counselor.
You got to figure someone in a spot. Like you couldn't just have one counselor on the boat, right?
Right.
Wasn't there a guy who started as a counselor the first like week, and he was so dorky and. He was such a geek that I think they just stuck him in the, what they call it, the HQ as the twink.
Flashlight.
He was like...
in stereo.
And the only comparison I can give for you is, you know the character in Saturday Night Fever, the one who falls off the bridge?
Yeah, exactly. That was Flashlight.
He was that guy.
Yeah. Flashlight.
It's funny, like...
Flashlight.
Flashlight.
Right.
Yes, you know Flashlight.
Remember they put him in that like little social hall apartment that was the left of the stage?
That's where he slept.
Didn't the waiters live there?
Well, eventually, like the next year they did. Klausner, I think, lived there in 77 with Lippi.
But they actually
but in 76.
They used to put that individual that they would hire that they think could be nuts and crazy. They would lock him up over there.
It was like solitary confinement. It was like, stay here behind
the social. Big thing that got, what got Lippi kicked out? Drinking?
A box of unidentified pills, I think. But he didn't really get kicked. He didn't really get
kicked.
That was the story. Like the doctor at camp, and we found this out on this podcast, couldn't identify the pills that Lippy had taken. Like there was, apparently it was almost apparently. I don't know this first.
Well, maybe the doctor didn't swallow enough of them.
I guess. But visually, at least, he couldn't determine what they were, so they were concerned. But the funny thing is, like, he wasn't really kicked out. Like, he still stayed. Like, well, he was gone maybe for 2 days.
He was like a waiter. He was in the waiter bunk and slept all day.
I think he hung out with Klausner at the back of the social hall.
He just didn't have to participate in anything.
No. Well, Yeah.
Do we know where he is today?
He's in Thailand, I think. I think he's in Asia somewhere. Boy. Like doing. I think he teaches English in Thailand or some other Asian country.
Does he speak to Ira Dasa often?
I don't know. You know what? I haven't heard from Dasa either.
To that effect.
Yeah, I know Dasa was like the last we heard from him. Right, he was in Cambodia, like making.
Cambodia.
Doing like importing rugs or something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. It felt more like he was. I couldn't quite tell if he was doing some sort of like charity thing. Or maybe he was just running a sweatshop.
Right. Or like doing some
I work
sort of
with
like,
poor people in Cambodia.
Like I'm really running an opium operation, but I'm calling it woven rugs.
Dasa hasn't shown his face on anything Facebook.
You know, I think there was every now and then Moose will like has like a group email list, Russ, and he'll send out something, you know, Swago related.
Yeah.
And I think Dasa within the last year
in
or two.
In all caps.
Yeah, in all caps. I think in the last year or two Dasa responded to something. Like I saw him like responding. So he's around. He'd be an interesting guy. He was a good fellow. You should get him on here.
Yeah. I never liked him as a camper, but when I got to know him later on,
I liked him as a camper because I remember when I was an Eagle, his bunk was like him and Russ Kashtan, Jeff Schechter, and some other maniacs. Like those guys were like, maybe it was Paul and Johnny. I don't think it was. So I think it was a whole different group of guys. And Ira was the one guy there that was sort of you can go to and talk to. Yeah, the other guys were like, no, we're just going to kill you. You know, we're going to kick your ass. Russ Kashtan, very intimidating figure.
It's amazing how little our personalities then relate to our personalities now.
I don't know.
I think, or I don't mean personality. I don't mean our personalities. I mean our sort of who we were in the social structure there, and who we are today in life. Like I can't.
Well,
relate.
I thank Swago because I feel like Swago, like the sort of concentrated social structure that was Swago, helped me be me. You know, helped me be. You know, and who I am now, much more so than school did.
I agree completely.
So how dare you? I'm only kidding. No, but I agree. There's clearly an evolution, but like, I think I would be a totally different person had I not gone to Swago.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I mean, it's like...
You think I would be
what'd you say?
You think I would be a different person or you would be a different person?
Speaking for himself.
Right. I can't really speak for you,
thank you, Russ.
I think we all would be. I mean, because it's just such a huge part of your development as a kid. You know, you get into this completely other, separate social structure and environment and you develop, you know, completely different, I think, I don't know if it's skills or social skills or whatever. And you get to explore a different side of yourself, you know? I mean, I'm sure there were plenty of kids who could have been, you know, you were one person at camp and another person at school.
I think a lot of people that existed for them that, you know, camp was a place where almost everybody was accepted. You had a comfort level when you were going there for the most part with a couple of exceptions along the way.
Absolutely.
And you found a different balance there than you did in your home environment.
But I think the key thing is, though, I think if you ask everybody, and I would think this is almost 100%, if you ask everybody now, you know, 30, 35 years after the fact, who are you now more like, the person you were at camp
or the person you were
at school?
Camp.
And camp would win out, I would think, exclusively.
I think so.
You know? And it's just a matter of it's like family. You know, you live with these people. It was like you were there for 8 straight weeks living, and you had to fend for yourself and make your way, and, you know.
Yeah. And you know what else? It's really the first time you experience something ending, something you love, you know, ending.
Well, that was.
I mean it.
Right.
And you'd cry. It'd be okay to cry. You'd be like this 14-year-old kid shedding tears, and it was like, okay, good. He's crying too, you know?
Let me tell you something. David will remember this, okay? You know, the last night of camp when they light the year on fire, and there were only 4 of us second-year seniors, me, David, Chris, and Andy Greenwald. And the other 2 color war leaders were Kevin Jampolis and Timmy Brody were first year seniors because it was just 4 of us left. And so the 4 of us are like, you know, 15 yards ahead of everybody laying on the grass watching this thing go up. And we're crying, you know. Mm-hmm. And at some point, I mean, I'm crying, like really crying, like my face is tingling, you know, and I'm like uncontrolled sobbing. And there was a point where the rest of them had stopped crying, you know?
It's like, now they're consoling
and
you.
I was just,
it's like, what's with Russ?
Should we take him to the infirmary?
Point, they were like, Russ, okay, you know, you all right? You okay? You know, I mean, it really was, but it was just like, you know what it was? And this is goes back to exactly, I think, what you're saying, is that I really felt at that moment I had come into my own, you know?
Right.
I was almost 16. I'd just been a color war leader. I was at the top of this thing, this place that I'd been at for 7 years. And then it was over, you know, that this moment was going to end. I mean, it's a vivid memory, you know?
Nah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Amazing.
Did you have a girlfriend at Swatona?
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
The bye-bye birdie role should have scored you something there,
really,
right?
Absolutely. I mean,
you had the sexiest part in Swago history.
It should have, and in fact, it practically did, except I was too much of a geek. I never had a girlfriend. There were a couple of summers where I had, like, a girl who I'd have to go meet at the social who I thought was my girlfriend, but we didn't do anything. We just sat there and went, do you like, you know.
What's your middle name?
Yeah.
That was always a big question.
It's a very good one, too.
Jennifer Powell, who was John Powell's sister.
You went out with Jennifer Powell?
That was your social.
We didn't go out. We just were like, for some reason, we were like, had to stand next to each other. And then one week, I went back and I didn't go, like, say hi to her. And it was like dumping her because I didn't know what to do. And then there was, what's her face? Lieber.
Michelle Lieber, right?
Michelle Lieber, okay. And I thought she was really beautiful. And
she was a pretty girl.
But then after like 2 weeks, she says to me, I think we should just be friends. And I was like, huh?
As opposed to what?
What does that mean? I thought we were friends.
What about Danielle Cerino? Was there a post-camp romance there?
Yeah, we never actually did anything. We had a date. I ran into her at Tufts. She was at my school one weekend at a frat party. She was like seeing some guy or was brought there or whatever. And so we stayed in touch.
Probably was.
Yeah, it was a guy from my school.
Oh, did she go there?
No, but she dated a guy from my school from, anyway, go ahead.
We had some Daniel Cerino and a friend thing.
I remember a few fun weekends at Brandeis, too.
I do.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, you were nice enough to come pick me up.
Russ, I would do anything over at my school.
That was great. I had a date with her. I drove into the city in my two-tone gray 1980 280ZX.
Yeah.
This would have been about 1984. Cranking the tunes. What's that?
Cranking the tunes.
Little kiss.
No, not for us. Russ has got like New Order on or.
Yeah. So I'm driving down 34th Street with her. It's a little bit wet. And,
yeah. You son of a bitch.
Just the street surface.
Okay.
And I'm like 2 blocks from her apartment to drop her off. And I was a reckless driver at the time. And the guy in front of me wasn't moving. And I pulled into like oncoming traffic to pass this car. But I did it at the same moment that like someone else did it or something, and was it? And we collided slightly.
it's always a good move.
So the two cars pull like across the street, and the guys in front of me pull over, and the people who got out of the other car were, shall we say, tougher than me,
right?
In terms of size, age, and ethnicity.
Oh.
Okay. And I just, something in me, I was like 19, and I was like, you know what? This ain't going to end well if I stick around. So I just floored it and got out of there, and they chased us for like 6 blocks, and I went through a red light under the FDR, and I mean, it was like, and this poor girl sitting there. And then eventually I gave him the slip, and what's funny was, I gave him the slip by like doing the same maneuver. I come in a circle and I was back on 34th Street and I gave him the slip by basically doing the same thing again, like making a big U-turn in the middle of 34th. And, God.
No second date?
There was no second date. It's too bad. But here's where I was a real geek, okay? So Bye Bye Birdie, right? If you remember, who was the Zucker who was like a year younger than me? Not Henry.
Brian.
Mark?
Brian, okay.
Brian.
So Brian dated this girl named Hillary Finver. You remember her?
Yes.
Yeah, I do, actually.
And she was beautiful. She was like real full of life and thin with long dark hair. And they were sort of like boyfriend and girlfriend all summer, and they were getting busy. You know, stuff was happening there. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of friendly with Hillary. And So she says to me, like, the night of the play or the night before, she's like, hey, after the play, why don't you want to come with me and Brian? And that's a good Swatona name, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's one of them.
And the girl was, you know, that girl was sort of towards the top of the you know, level. She was all right. But for some reason, not only did I just not have any concept of what was in store for me, but also I didn't want to miss, like, the boys thing, the drinking thing, even though I didn't drink.
You won, like, Genesee Cream Ale.
Yeah, which I knew I wasn't even going to drink. And because of what I'd experienced the year before with D.L. running around naked. But so I just couldn't accept the invitation. And I didn't. And then I remember like afterwards, I don't know if it was like a week later. I mean, this was like a big insult too. And
to her,
what was made clear to me, like, after the fact, was that what I had turned down in theory was oral sex.
Oh my Lord.
Wow.
And that's what I said.
That's a big loss back in that day.
Listen, you don't come back from that so quickly.
I was
always curious, like, you and Chris had this, I always felt I had this hesitancy about drinking and doing stuff. And, like, at least for, like, although I remember when you came to my bachelor party, this is 1990 now, like, you were very vodka friendly at that time. But like, early on,
your,
like,
your bachelor party?
You were very, very, yeah, it was like at Montana's recording studio. And
right, was this a Steve Popkin-y kind of thing?
Exactly. It was a jam bachelor party, you know.
Right,
exactly what it was. But right. Then you were very, like, you were digging the vodka, and I was getting a kick out of the fact that you enjoyed drinking vodka. But I remember, like, early on, though,
I didn't drink.
You and Chris were, like, very anti sort of drinking or doing anything, like, you know.
I was just scared of it.
All right, well, I guess the out running, like, around naked.
Yeah, I mean, I took a sip of Jenny Cream Ale or whatever, and I just thought, this is disgusting. Like,
it is like bad beer, actually.
Tooth.
Yeah.
Well, whatever beer. I mean, I tried any beer, and I just, like, this is gross. And I didn't like it. And I really didn't have a concept of what getting drunk was or why it was good or why it was something I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was just drunk in general. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I never and whenever I tasted, like, vodka, I was like, oh, this is really gross. And for some reason, you know, because I was such a sugar addict, I equated, when someone said, oh, you got to drink this, it's great, I just assumed it was going to taste good.
Right, it's going to be like Coca-Cola. You know, it's like, oh, this is fantastic.
And when it didn't, I was like, no, give me a Coke. I'd much rather have a Coke.
I agree. Early on, that's the thing. Well, Duke Allen introduced me to Tango, which was out in New Jersey. And that was, like, the closest thing to actually good tasting, like, alcohol when you're, like, in 11th grade.
It was like...
What was it?
Tango was vodka and orange bug juice.
Yeah, or Tang. Wasn't it, like,
well,
the actual Tang?
Which
was
basically orange
but
bug
it was like,
juice.
But it tasted really good.
It was disgusting. But it was better than
beer.
I mean,
I'm sure I wouldn't like it now.
I never liked beer growing up.
No, beer was hard.
High
I like beer
days,
now, but
I couldn't do beer.
Me either.
So I would drink that Tango vodka. It was like an orange drink and vodka. It was easy to go down.
Sounds gross.
It was disgusting.
Well, to change topics here, we had Timmy on here, like, on an episode, and we were debating who had the most famous piece of Swago apparel, and I think it came down to, like, Timmy's Phillies hat, or Flyers hat, I'm sorry, or your Mark Spitz bikini bathing suit.
Those are great.
I think there was an entire summer where you just sort of, like,
you wore
I'm
that
not,
every
I'm not
day.
Wearing pants, I'm not wearing shorts, I'm just going to wear this, like,
British,
this American flag
British
Speedo.
Flag Speedo or whatever.
No, American flag.
I have no doubt that I wore that thing, like, every day, I mean, it was like a go-to piece of you know,
but
absolutely.
Like that was your bottom. It wasn't even like, oh, I'm going down the lake. This is like, no, I'll play volleyball in this.
Well, the theory was it's hot out, and I know I'm going to end up swimming at some point.
No, there's something to be said for that. It's an efficient way of wearing your clothing.
I feel like Keith will pack
and it was the American
too.
Flag.
Yeah, it was.
I thought that thing was just a no-brainer. It was just full. I'll tell you the worst part. When I was in around fifth grade, so, you know, 10, 11, I played Little League basketball in the evenings, you know, at my grade school,
right,
like one night a week. And there was one week, I think my mother wasn't around and my dad had to take me to the game. And I looked in my drawer and there were no shorts. And I wore the bathing suit.
For the game?
Yeah. And my dad was like, can you do that? And I was like, yeah, why not?
Why can't you? Put the tank top on top of the suit and you're good to go.
Yeah, it was good to go. And I, you know, looked like an idiot. But, you know, but of course, you know.
Were you the star of the play? Were you the star of Bye Bye Birdie?
Absolutely.
I was, and the reason I was the star was not because I could sing.
What was the reason?
The reason was I gave, you know, I was like a huge Van Halen fan at the time, if you remember.
Yes,
you
I
know?
Do. I was I like, definitely do.
I was like the first David Lee Roth wannabe, and so my audition, I just got up there and I just pretended I was David Lee Roth, and I just jumped around and put so much energy into it. And they were just overwhelmed by me. They were like, "Yeah, this is the guy. This is the guy." And I had to sing three songs, and I, you know, they sucked.
Well, I was the lead in my play, and the only reason that I got the lead was because my voice actually reached the back of the social.
Wait, which your play was 76 Trombones?
Yeah, my first play was Music Man.
Anything Goes, and then Music Man.
I'm sorry, Anything Goes, where I was the lead, and then I. Then
you lost out to Mark first.
I did. I actually was asked.
No, no, he didn't.
I was
didn't.
Asked
he,
to be the
he
lead.
He was supposed to be the
it.
Lead, and he made a scene at the canteen in front of Lucille.
And I just didn't want to
he
do
like
it.
He said,
so
I'm
Mark
not doing
first
it.
Won.
So Mark first got the
Got it. Got it. Well, that's too bad. We'll never know what that performance could have been.
You know, the play was such a fucking fun thing.
It would have been good.
Too.
It would have been fun seeing you and Cheryl sort of doing your thing together.
Well, there were so few things you did with the girls that were like.
The play was it.
On a. Intimate level, so to speak, and that was the one.
Yeah,
that was the one thing that they got, and the carnival. But the carnival was like,
that was
half-assed. Yeah. You know, it was sort of like it didn't really prep. You know, it was like one afternoon,
three hours. The play was the thing.
The play was the thing.
And by the way, I remember one regret I have is I kept my makeup on all night.
Oh, really? That's sort of I could see
you know
doing
how,
that
because like, I never looked in the mirror.
Right.
So all night I'm walking around with like this stupid ass makeup on my face, looking like an idiot, mm-hmm. and I didn't even realize it.
All right, I'm sure it looked all right though. You know, you still, you know, you're in character still, and it was a good character to have.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a much hipper character to have than let's say Harold Hill from, you know, The Music Man or
Hill. Ever met him?
Harold Hill. Yeah. I know. But you know, it's funny if you ever watch The Music Man now, it's like. Yeah. All right. We're back. All right. I have no idea how much time we missed, but
it couldn't have been more than 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Oh. The computer fell off the table and it stopped recording.
We may not get the cabbage.
I do want people to know Russell turned a 7-figure profit on selling his house, though.
Just in case anyone missed.
If you're worried about the man, don't be.
So, Russ, any new movies coming up?
I wish I could say there were, but no. I worked on a movie. When you see the Johnny Depp movie about Whitey Bulger called Black Mass,
right?
I wrote one of the drafts of it, but not what they ultimately made. So, no credit for me.
No credit,
bastards.
None deserved. But I made, you know, I got paid a little bit.
All right, something.
Thank God for Whitey Bulger, baby.
Yeah, that was fascinating. But nothing else. I'm actually trying to direct something that I wrote. Trying to get the money together right now. Small, and if that moves forward, I'll let you know.
All right, we'll promote the hell out of it, Russ. You really want us on your side?
We could do that. We'll get Swago.
You'll get yourself. You'll get yourself 60 tickets sold.
All right, guys. Thank you very much.
All right, Russ. Apologies for the technical issues at the end where we're sort of like we're fading out, so we don't know how bad it was. But I know 99% of it worked out, Russ.
Thank you for joining us.
Cool. Absolutely, good to hear your voice, man. I miss you.
Totally. Look forward to seeing you hopefully sooner than later.
I'd love that. All right, take care.
All right, Russ, be well. Bye, man.
All right, on that note, let's take a quick pause here if we can.
Now we're going to pause?
I'm not sure we're capable of doing it. We can't really pause.
It took us 15 minutes to get back live, but now we're going to pause? All right, here we are, people. We're not even live here.
I don't know
what we are.
Let's
go live
in
case anybody's here.
Yeah, just for Dave. We're back.
Hey, everybody. Yeah. We don't know if you heard it, if you didn't hear it. We think we might have missed like the last
time.
That was.